Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy Rail back with another review, man. This is Power Book 3, Season 3, Raising Kanan, Episode 7. We out here. Yeah. For any of you, for any of you guys that happened to see the content I dropped yesterday, that was a tester. Okay, I wanted to get my Discord more involved. Because they constantly, you know what I'm saying, putting me onto different shows and movies and attacking me, okay? Now y'all can put a voice to the names that be in the comments that's supposed to support me, but seem to keep attacking me. And you could put a voice to the people who get in there complaining about how Rail don't be on time with his shows, but I'm owning up to it. I'm letting the people speak for themselves. And we're going to do that every Monday. So when I'm doing reviews throughout the week and over the weekend, anybody that had questions for me about something I reviewed or where do I think, you know, just off based off those episodes, just chopping it up or what y'all been watching, okay, we're going to do that on Monday. And you also can be a part of it. Hop into the Discord, you know what I'm saying? The Queen Pamela will get you sorted. Get you situated. You can go through there. There's nothing but like-minded people, good people. And if you haven't checked it out, just check out the video I dropped prior to this one. It's a good time. We have fun. So, yeah. I'm thinking the volume was low. So, I'm going to try to go like... I'm going to try to do what I can on my end to try to bump up their voice as far as volume. Or we might have to move to like a Zoom type thing. You feel me? Like... Zoom might bring the better audio quality in. But it was the first one out. You know what I'm saying? Just like first of anything, there's going to be trials and tribulations. So, anyway, on to the show. Now, this episode, I'm going to start off with the lower people's storylines, right? So let's go with Detective Howard. Okay, I've been practicing. He's no longer Detective Omar. I have now remembered he is a Howard. So Detective Howard, he's up for a promotion, right? Now, you might be flabbergasted just as I am, because I was like, how is Buddy up for a promotion? I don't recall him closing any cases. Maybe he's like, when we don't see him on screen, maybe he's like super detective. That like warrants this elevation in career status. Cause as it stands, I'm looking around like, why? Why? And I mean, if I was to promote somebody, especially a detective who detects crimes, right? He didn't figure out what happened to the Italians. He didn't crack the case on nothing. It would have probably been doper. Excuse me, if Raquel was the one feeding him information, like, look, the Italians is doing this, like, you could see them here, we at war with them. If she was, like, feeding him information, giving him arrests, putting her in her back pocket, making him look good on the force, it would make all the sense in the world. I'm like, oh, okay, I see she gives him nothing. All she does is call her with, look, the baby mama phone. Hey, get your son. Your son is wilding. Yeah, we might have messed up a few things. We need you to come clean it up. You're a police officer. Like, she does not reciprocate any of the helpful energy, which would have made it, and if she did, it would at least make sense to me, like, why he's getting this promotion, right? So there goes my confusion, because I'm not hiring somebody who can't even figure out who shot you. Huh, Biggie? What, Jadakiss tell 50? Or was it, who's that? Didn't he tell 50? If somebody would have shot me 9 times, 9 people would have died? I'm like, well, what's up with Detective Howard? As far as I know, he was dying, right? This is the story arc. He was dying, got healthy, got shot by his son, found out by his partner, killed his partner, and... covered up all of Kanan's shenanigans, none of which warrants a promotion. So now I'm just kind of like, so why are they telling us this? Why is him getting a promotion a thing? I'm thinking they're setting it up, especially his hesitancy, is because he's about to get exposed soon. Why do I feel that way? Because Detective Burke's father is still roaming around. He's making amends with her, like, ex-girlfriend. Like, look, I know I jumped out at you. We could be cool. I don't want no beef. And just looking for answers for his daughter. Now, I don't think they gave us this for just absolutely no reason. Clearly, the father is about to look at that paperwork that he came and collected from the office. You put the fact that he's coming out collecting her belongings, which is, you know, paperwork and stuff. He's going to, obviously, it's not even a hot take. We just know what's about to happen. Her father is about to go through her old cases, determine that 90% of it was about Detective Howard. And then here comes Detective Howard. And what they tell him? Like a foreshadowing. He was like, look, dude, you got the job. Because, you know, Detective Howard is like, no, like most black folks, that's a black person thing on God. We do not want to talk about the good stuff that is about to happen to us. Because it's a weird jinx thing. Like, hey, I'm hearing that you about to get this promotion. Like, we never want to set ourselves up to feel good about something. I don't know what that is. If it's just me, tell me, hey, real, this ain't black people, man. This is a you thing. I'm just saying that I've been around and I'm black. And I just feel like we all do that similar thing. We never want to speak about the good stuff because we know that failure is right there around the corner. Like, we just don't want to jinx it. As far as we're concerned, we don't know nothing about no promotion, no pay raise, nothing. We've been broke. We're going to stay broke. We're just going to think broke unless something happens. But we ain't going to talk about it. We is not finna pop champagne and go out and then look stupid. I think that's our biggest fear. You definitely don't want to go home to your mama like, yo, hey, I'm about to, look, your baby boy done made it, huh? I got this promotion. Come back to work and it's like, oh, what you doing here? No, so-and-so got it. But maybe next year for you. So yeah, Detective Howard is under the thing of I'm not speaking on it. And he shouldn't, because what did dude tell him? He looked at him and said, hey, man, look, dude, paperwork's in. As long as you're not like, we about to do this background check. As long as you're not like a serial killer, this job is yours. Which, you know, he might be. Not per se a serial killer, but look at what he did. He killed his partner, made it look like she did to herself. Then when she sees what is dude's name? Our boy that got killed. Mama. Anyway, he sees the mama trying to snitch. He jumps out of a conversation, runs over there, getting the tea from her, like, no, you can trust me. And I felt that his mama knew that she couldn't trust Detective Howard. Like, she like, you a police officer and you using words like snitching, don't get caught snitching, like snitches get stitches. Like, what? This is the place that you come and tell. I don't see how she didn't feel that energy right there. A police officer, you come in to speak on a crime and you are met with, hey, I wouldn't be out here with them snitch allegations. You said he was drunk. Watch yourself. Don't be out here calling people. I'd have been like, sir, I know. Let me talk to that other gentleman I had in the hallway. You telling me I shouldn't be at the police office telling on criminals? Is that what you, is that the vibe I'm getting? I would at least like not went straight home like that. So what she had coming later on was deserving, in my opinion. Like, how did you not read that room? So yeah, I think Detective Howard is either going to be putting himself in a position to do what he does best, which is kill the father, because the father is not going to be able to reopen a case, especially on somebody that is, or like pick up from his daughter's work, because he's retired. He has no access. And the fact that he's now making amends with his daughter's ex, he's probably going to put it on her to try to finish what Burke started, which if Howard gets the drop on it, we can see him lining up to kill her next. And if people that's all surrounding her just keep offing themselves, it's going to get a little suspicious. Somebody's going to be looking into Howard. So the Howard reign, his dirty copness, might be coming to a quick end. That's how I'm feeling. What else we got? We got Raquel being back in the dope gang, right? So much like Unique's conversation with the Korean gentleman, I want to say, about how, look, you can only sell drugs from this storefront and X, Y, and Z. I will say one thing about Raquel. She's many things, but a terrible business person, a terrible drug dealer, a terrible boss is not her definition. Now, she might be a horrible human and up there with some of the worst moms in the business, in the momming business, right? Raquel might be up there. I have no argument to defend her of those allegations. But a business lady? Fantastic. Unique had the same conversation. And he argued, no, I should be able to sell drugs wherever I want to. I should be able to get around and do what I got to do. Dude looked at him and said, no, you're there. Unique threw up his hand and said, all right, whatever. I'll make it work. I just do what I got to do. He was bagging down. Like, he took that. And then you see Rock come in. Now, mind you, that Korean dude had no knowledge of Unique and has no knowledge of Raquel. He just knows that the Italians sent these mulians up in here to run this same pitiful storefront. Right? And what does Raquel do with that? Tells that man, uh-uh. What are we talking about? This is a waste of my time. I didn't come here to move drugs from one little storefront. I came here to make real money. Huh? Give me the drugs. I'll take care of the rest. You feel me? And he backed down quickly. He said, you know what? All right, but this is on you. And it ain't no consignment. I want my money up front. He said, no problems. We all know Rock got the money, so cool. But what Rock does next, always forward thinking, which makes me think, why did she leave the game in like that? I don't know. It was her. She had a quicker retirement than Tom Brady. I ain't gonna lie to you. I mean, she sat out the game for 2 weeks and was like, nah, this ain't for me. She goes in there and immediately meets the king of Chinese restaurants of New York. My boy said, hey, look, I know you doing all this, but you're using my storefront. I need a bust down of this amount of money. She couldn't argue. And in return, he gave her all of the Southside Jamaica's Chinese restaurants to sell drugs from. So we ain't just here no more. We expanded. In less than an hour, she was able to out-negotiate better than Unique and think further. Unique was just constantly like, okay, let me just bounce back. Let me get my feet wet. Let me try to make my murderous brother, happy. And that was his downfall, obviously. Rock, it just goes to show you, care about yourself and your money, which is what I think she was trying to tell Unique all those episodes. Like, watch him. He don't sound good. And at the same time, who cares? Go get your money. So Unique had the right idea, poor execution. But Rock comes right in, and now she's about to take over all over again. Meanwhile, the feds are still here. Where are they at? They was just trailing her forever. And like two episodes ago, my boy was like, man, get her back in it. Well, like, let's reopen this case. Let's look into her younger brother. Like, the Rock family, like, is still the you know what I'm saying? Up there. And I guess she lost her tail and is back to drug dealing. Like, and she's moving. Like, she has no fear. Like, the feds was just not on her about that. And she act like Detective Howard didn't just come tell her, like, yo, the streets is watching and whatever. So maybe that's not a thing. Maybe this is just one of those powerisms that happen from time to time. I couldn't tell you, to be 100% honest. I don't be knowing what's going on half the time. They just be popping out the blue with certain occurrences. One day I'm getting tailed everywhere I go. Next thing you know, it's gone. It is what it is. Next storyline. This Marvin with his, like, his friendship with the reporter, with his name Mike? Is his name Mike? Or I don't want to call him his white buddy, but it is his white buddy. Just can't think of his name right now. Anyway, so Marvin is like playing caretaker to some white dude that he feels like, I guess they share that bond of the murder of their, like, whatever. So he feels like he's responsible. And then to pull up and see that he got his little girls in the car freezing, about to freeze to death. And Marvin's like, what? Now he's playing that. Marvin, look at Marvin's elevation. He go from wilding out hitman for the rock family, right? Drug dealer, not even looking like a parent to his teenage daughter at all. And then all of a sudden, he's accepting of her, like, lifestyle, wants to be there in her corner, ain't missed a show, ain't missed an audition, ain't missed a recording. He is Mr. Dad, right? He done went from absolutely nothing to full-on dad mode that he is willing to dad somebody else's kids. He up in there making them little white girls little grilled cheese sandwiches. Huh? They calling him Uncle Marvin. I said, well, I'll be. Like, look at Marvin from nowhere. And then he got the time to get his man clean. And all the while, he's doing all this wholesome family stuff, which is the craziest, redemption story ever. Like, I can't, it's almost, if I told people who never watched Raising Kanan and they looked at Marvin, I said, hey, that dude right there, stone cold killer. He was a terrible father. He never used his brain. He would just act. He was always just acting off emotion. They would look at me and go, who, him? I don't even see where that's possible. And that's what Marvin has done. And that's why it's like, I don't know what they built enough for Marvin. I was thinking prison, but because remember, I was just predicting that because Lou went and snitched on himself while he was drunk. Man, this got me twisted. Like, I'm ready to fall off my hot take. I had Marvin going to jail and Lou being killed because he's out here running his mouth. But Marvin's conversation to Lou and him being the wheel man for Lou to go clean up his mess, right? Not only did he get the son killed, but then he opened his mouth and then had to kill a mama. That can't be good for your sobriety. So I don't know what Lou got going on. But so he does that. And I'm like, okay, well, they wrapped up Lou's potential murdering because he covered up his bases. He went in there and Howard stopped her from making an official statement. And Lou came and cleaned up his own mess. So now I'm like, well, it don't seem like Lou's death is coming for snitching. One of the brothers got to die. One of them got to go. And I was hoping it'd be Lou that be dead and Marvin just go to jail. But after Lou did what he did, I don't know if I can stand on that. I might have to break and say, like, I think Marvin's going to get killed. One of the brothers got to go, if not both of them. Yeah, because if you kill Marvin, I need Lou to die. Like, Lou been wild in this one. And he was my mans in season one. I'm thinking he should have been the one running this whole thing. Boy, how was I wrong? Like, I'd never seen this dynamic shift. But, yeah, man, I'm scared for Marvin. He's doing too much wholesome stuff in the dirty, filthy South Jamaican streets of New York. And he's just too positive right now. His energy is too, like, good. So I'm nervous for my boy, because if don't nobody deserve a death, that'd be the mailman himself, right? So I'm a little scared because of the way they did that with Lou. Now let's talk about the main, like, meat of this episode, right? Which is Kanan. I don't know if it's just me, but this whole Ronnie thing, it looks like Ronnie is an employee of Kanan's. Am I crazy? It looks like Kanan somehow, at his young teenage age, and selling weed and just upgrading to harder drugs, has somehow recruited got recruited by Ronnie, right? The street serial killer. The am I my brother's keeper? I still got Stan Ronnie too. It felt like he's like Kanan's attack dog. Like, I thought he was going to take more of a mentoring role toward Kanan, but he seems to be just scaring Kanan's family and friends and just threatening anybody that's willing to open their mouth and talk. He seems like Kanan's ultimate protector, right? He went and got the white dude together, the one that had the bike routes. He went and straightened him right up. I think Kanan did that on his own one time. He threatened him. But Ronnie has a more murderous fear. Like, dude, like, don't get me wrong. The bike messenger dude feared Kanan. Like, oh, this little dude might get me popped. But I can still kind of talk to him crazy because he's a child, right? He's thinking with that adult brain. Like, he's acting like a square. He don't know that these teenagers is killers. So he's just kind of like, I am a grown man. You are a child. Again, give me my workers before I start telling police. Like, I'm done playing with you, little boy. Like, that was his mindset. And Ronnie, when Ronnie come and speak to you and saying words like, I don't like talking. Oh, the people that's talking. He even gave us a speech on his feelings about people opening their mouth. Which, surprise, surprise, the man who garners up a paragraph worth of words an episode don't like people to talk too much. What a shocker there, Ronnie. So he was just drilling that point home, right? And so it doesn't, like, I'm not feeling a mentor role from Ronnie. It feels like Kanan has just shot up. Like, overnight. Like, now he went from Rock's weed dealing son to, like, chopping it up with the old heads of the block and the movers and shakers. And then he's got the most dangerous man in New York as his, like, muscle. Like, he's looking like a baby kingpin right now with the dynamic that shaped up. Speaking of his little rabbit dog, Ronnie, I'm not understanding the sexual attraction the Colombian girl got with Ronnie. I'm like, okay, she just out here bad. Them two smashing? Where did that come from? Did any of y'all see sexual tensions between Ronnie and the plug? I looked at that with my mouth open. I said, what? I understand Ronnie's, like, motivation for wanting to smash her. Like, I get it. She's wealthy. She breaks you off drugs. You high-key work for her, so that I can't think of a better situation than smashing your boss. That could only be a win-win, especially when it's, you know, whether you're the corporate world or not. Because, hey, if you smash your boss in the corporate world, guess what you got? Receipts. So the second you start coming in to work late, as you should, because the boss messed up, let you smash him. Now you show up late, ain't nobody gonna say nothing to you. Ain't maybe not working as hard. And you know, if your boss open their mouth, the receipts will pour out, your job will be secure, and that person's out of here. So smashing the boss is only a win-win. I don't know what you guys are going to do with that information, but I don't see no L's in boss smashing if that's what you can pull off. I don't stop me when I stop making sense. I don't see the downfall for you. Now, you out here ruining people's lives, I mean, but they put themselves in that situation. So, consequences and actions, baby. So, anyway, I get why Ronnie is, like, doing that. I, for the life of me, am not seeing what this woman got going on or what she would want from Ronnie. Is it the glasses? Is it that little nasty, like, mustache beard combo thing? Is it the fact that he dresses in nude colors and, like, he looks like the invisible man on the street? Like, what is it? What Ronnie got going on that she's like? And the only thing I'm thinking, as I see this weird relationship on this couch, is I know she's got a thing. She's got a type. Oh, yeah. And you're like, wait, what you mean, Rel? She was married to like a Latino dude, and dude, they look nothing alike. What's her type? The wrong, toxic. Huh? That's her type. She like toxic. This dude could probably beat me up. I could get hurt by this guy. A negative energy man. That's her type. Who's the worst for me is her type. And once you think that way, it makes sense. Look at the husband she chose. It's not too far of a stone's throw away from Ronnie. That's just that. That's what I'm saying. But so that was very awkward. Jukebox and Kanan's strenuous relationship, that was going to come to that. And I'm not looking too deep into it for obvious reasons. Juke wanted her cousin to continue to be her cousin. She sees a change in him. Not only his voice, which is, that boy sounds exactly like 50 Cent. Like, he is doing an amazing job. We got to give it to Lil Kanan. Every time, if you close your eyes and listen to Kanan talk, you will swear 50 was on screen. I think that's one of the most impressive things that's happened in Power Book 3. I'm not going to lie to you. I be sometimes like, you ever watched, look, I said I wasn't going to do this, but you know me. Have you ever watched Malcolm X and was sitting there looking at Denzel like, that might be Malcolm for real? I know this because I was a child when I saw Malcolm X and I was like, dang, I think that's the real Malcolm X. Like, there's certain people that when they step into a role, you like, no, you're not Denzel, you're Malcolm X. You're not Kanan, huh? You're 50 Cent. You're the child version of him. That's what I'm watching. It's certain people, like, you're not Johnny Depp. Who? You're Jack Sparrow. You're Jack Sparrow. I don't know you to be nothing else. You're Jack Sparrow. That's who you were meant, that's who you was born to play. This kid here was born to play 50, and he's killing it. So salute to you, young man, like, for real. But like I was saying about Juke and their relationship, she don't like the change. He's getting deeper into the streets. She never wanted to be a part of that. Don't want her cousin to be a part of that. So what does she do? Run to his mama and start spilling the tea. I'm not even mad. I'm not mad at Juke's move. Some of y'all might be a little upset about that, but when you see somebody that's a family member going down the wrong path, you know what you do? Go tell other family. That could help. You know what you don't do, Lou? Go to the person you murdered's mother, who got nothing to do with this, and start snitching on family business. That's what you don't do. So, I am pro what Jukebox did. Sure. It's an inconvenience to him at some point. Rock is going to make things very difficult. But not with Ronnie around. And I'm almost predicting Rock is about to do one of her famous show up at Kanan's door unannounced, threatening to come in, and will be met with a Ronnie. And it's going to be an epic stare down of Black Mama versus Black Serial Killer. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know who I got my money on. I'm going to be real with you. A Black angry mama versus a Black serial killer? That's like Godzilla and King Kong. I'm just not going to call that fight. That's one I'm going to grab the popcorn and watch. It's going to be a war of words, obviously, and stares. But I don't see either side backing down. And Kanan better be on his toes, because it's finna get rough. That's definitely coming. So we see that thing with Juke. And famous. I don't know if he makes it out this season. And I'm not mad. Famous served a purpose. Now he doesn't. They've written him to the point of, I think we're all comfortable if he was just dead. I think y'all have landed there with me. Because who cares? Now, he was sitting there looking at with the fear of God as Ronnie just encroached all in his bubble. And letting him know, again, his feelings on talking and doing this and going forward. Where Kanan got a little nervous for his boy and had to slow him down. Like, all right, he good people. And what you and the question of why your mama like you so much might be the funniest line or like scene this season. I was in tears. Why your mama miss you? Huh? Why your mama like you? And famous with the I mean she's my mom, like because what would you say in that situation? Why does my mama like me? Why would she miss me outside of it's my mom? And to be honest with you, I don't know if Ronnie wasn't just messing with him, like trolling him, or if he was really asking, why your mama like you and my mama don't like me? That was what made me laugh so hard. I didn't know if Ronnie was just, if he was really searching for answers or not. Like, I could see somewhere where Ronnie is like, yeah, why? What makes your mother like you and my mom don't like me? Let's work this out. Like, let's sit down. Like, tell me what I could do to be better like by my mom. What are you doing? And when you, that is funny. That was funny. I'm not going to lie to you. So he got me with that one. I'm not the biggest fan of Ronnie because he killed my mans, but I got to give props when they do. That was a hilarious line. And even Famous is like going to be famous for being the world's largest idiot. Huh? Because when he said, don't be talking to nobody, not your mama, nothing. Famous moves back in with his mama and not 10 minutes go past before he forgets what Ronnie threatened him. And he started telling his mama, maybe not flat out or starting to, tell his mama what's going on. And what do we think a mom's going to do who's not living a street life? Uh-oh, gotta go tell the cops. I think my baby's in trouble. His best friend is doing some weird stuff. I gotta go save him. I'm square civilian lady. Let me go to the cops. How do we think that's going to pan out for Famous? Maybe he's gone. Maybe we've seen the last of Famous. If not next episode, definitely by the end of the season. So that's where I'm headed with that. But Kanan's like filth toward women, not a fan of. Definitely a Kanan move, though. Definitely a Kanan move. And I'm confused. Shorty that's in his love triangle with Kanan and Jukebox was throwing up, which led me to believe, is this Kanan's baby mama? Is she pregnant with the son that Kanan later goes on to kill in power? That's what I was thinking. I'm like, she's dark-skinned. He was dark-skinned. I can see Kanan having kids at an early age. Is this the baby mama? But then, they at the crib, he trying to get fresh, and she wants no part of it, saying he's moving too fast. And so then that made me think, like, okay, maybe she's just, like, sick. But why tell her she's sick? Is she deathly ill? Or did she have sex and don't want to do it no more? Like, y'all could help me out with that. I was very confused. She was looking like, with that scene, her turning him down felt very much like, no, I'm not ready. It didn't feel like, I don't know, like just not right now. You feel me? So I don't know what the throwing up was about. No clue. And then the little fast one, the little member, Kanan's like, oh yeah, word, you next? That's what a teenage boy gonna do. You ain't with it? Let me go get the slutty member out the group, huh? It's gonna be easy work. And it's not, so Ju could pretend like she got an attitude about Kanan doing her girl wrong. That's for a show. Ju wanted that girl anyway, nor do I care about that storyline at all. I'm just trying to figure out if that's the baby mama or not. And y'all can help me with that, because I, for the life of me, have no idea. I don't know. Put me on. But with that, man, protect your health, yourself, your wealth, man. Boy, Rella's out of here. Peace.